WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night. You know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's the final WTR Sunday night of 2021. I am the producer, Soraka, and joined as always by the intern.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, wait, that's next week.
That's next week, yes.
Oh, well.
Little early.
Hey, everyone.
We have Keishi as well.
Season's Beatings is every single indie wrestling promotion in the world used this weekend.
It's a classic title, hashtag classic, hashtag vintage. Speaking of vintage, the one and only Tim Stein.
I don't know if I should be insulted by that or not, but I'll decide later. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday. It's December 19th. It's the final WTR of 2021 because we're not going to be on next Sunday, December 26th. That is in Canada and other British places, Boxing Day.
Yes.
And last year, Jobber wanted me to talk about Boxing Day.
I think we've wanted you to talk about it multiple times.
And the year before, I've been waiting to hear from him this year.
We're all waiting for his content this year at Lone Jobber. He did some Hanukkah and he did a Christmas thing. So he's trying. He's trying to do the holidays. Trying.
You know, that's how it goes.
That's how it goes. It's an effort. An effort is being put in. Sort of.
So, yeah. You know, nothing heavy tonight. We're just going to talk about a couple of things and then do a few more things. And then we'll do the all-time greatest. And then we'll wish you a merry freaking Christmas.
Yeah.
And that'll be the last time you hear from us in 2021.
There you go. But no, we do have things to talk about because in less than 2 weeks, a pay-per-view is happening called Day One.
This is true. That'll be a Sunday night or a Saturday night.
That'll be a Saturday night pay-per-view, which means Sunday they'll recap it.
At a regular time.
Yeah. They'll have a whole day to watch it.
Which is weird.
It is very weird, but that's sort of how things go. One of the things that are happening on Day One is the WWE Championship has going to be on the line. And that whole title picture is heated up with Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and now even Bobby Lashley wanting Big E's title. What are your thoughts on this whole situation? Who's going to walk out a champion after day one, guys?
The first thought I have is Billy Squire. Everybody wants you.
Is that an old man reference?
Billy Squire, dude.
Googling.
So he's a medieval guy, Squire.
He's a one hit album wonder.
Let's see. He's 71.
Billy Squire, 71 now?
It says he's 71. He early 80s, so I was like 3 or 4. That's good.
Was he on the Back to the Future soundtrack?
No.
Oh.
He was associated
with what?
He was associated with Ringo and his All Stars with 2 R's from 2006 to 2008.
Only 2 stars, not like Power.
No, they couldn't afford the extra R's. I mean, it is Ringo we're talking about.
So back to the topic. What are your thoughts, Brent, on this whole title picture that's been heating up lately?
God damn it, you're going to me for... it's good to see the title picture have a couple of people involved, because as we've seen sometimes with WWE, they like to just focus on one person as the contender, and they draw it out for a couple of shows. At least with this, you have an assortment of people. And I do have to say, I kind of like Seth and Kevin kind of having to work together a little bit. Especially this past Monday when it was, okay, Kevin lost to Bobby and tapped out immediately, so Seth got pissed. So Kevin runs down during Seth's match, hits him, and Seth is looking bewildered, like, what the hell is your problem? And then all of a sudden he starts to hear the announcer and realize, and Kevin's just smiling the whole time. I loved that moment. And you've got Bobby, who kind of, you know, he won his title under kind of nefarious means, and then had his title taken through what some people may call nefarious means, even though the Money in the Bank is completely legit. But it's that, you know, he never truly had that kind of like one-on-one match with Big E, at least
they did.
The sustained bit.
They did in the cage for the title.
Yeah.
And then as we saw on Monday, you know, they had another one-on-one match, and Lashley got the win there.
Yeah, thanks to MVP. Which, by the way, I love how people will criticize the fact of, like, if it's a no DQ match, people should be able to interfere. Yet when the person interferes in this match, they criticize it and say, no, it should have been behind the ref's back. I don't understand the logic of having, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth on that one.
Welcome to wrestling fans.
Yeah. I know, but this one was the critique of an actual professional wrestler, not just a fan. It was someone who works the business and said it. And I think their ultimate reasoning for it was perhaps the fans would have forgotten it was no DQ.
Just to break this up a little bit really quickly, guys, I just got a message directed to all of us. And I'm just going to call it up and read it out loud to you here. It says, to WTR, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. From Sheila, Tommy, and Blaine.
Woo!
Thanks!
Thank you!
So thank you to Sheila, Tommy, and Blaine, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you three as well.
Most indeed.
That was very nice of you. Now, back to your regularly scheduled program.
So yeah, I don't mind multiple people being in the title picture. I don't know if I'm a fan of the Fatal 4-Way that they're doing, but I always like to see multiple contenders, because then it's not just a static, okay, we're going to get 3 or 4 weeks of, you know, Kevin versus Big E in all of its different iterations.
Yeah, well, from my perspective, which would be that of somebody booking shit, one of the things I like about this is if they're smart, and of course we're talking WWE, so it's a 50-50 at best, but the losers all can wind up in some very serious programs with each other, leading to the final survivor being the new number one contender.
Yeah, there are a lot of good ways they can go with this. And it's nice to see that the guys who are contending are all former champions in their own right. So, like, you get that sort of like, well, anybody could actually win because they're all former champions. And then on the other side of it is like, well, they're all former champions. So that at least means that they're taking Biggie's run more serious than just throwing like random people at him.
Are you saying you don't want Austin Theory to challenge him for the title on a big stage?
No.
I mean, no. Not yet.
You know,
give the guy a little time.
Keishi?
Yo.
If I had had the opportunity to, you would have been my first North American champion.
Aw, thanks. It would have been nice to say at one point in my life, I had a title. We're still waiting for that day.
Yeah, we were going to have tag titles. We had the Commonwealth title. We were working on the heavyweight championship, and then we would have had the North American championship.
I mean, Keishi, to be fair, you do have the title of, you know, special guest host Keishi Matsunaga.
Special guest host this week.
Yeah, this week.
This week.
Special guest host this week, and that's every week that you're on, which is kind of a title.
And even sometimes when I'm not, so that's also like... very nice.
Now, my question is, if someone fills in for Keishi, does that mean he's taken the title over?
Except nobody's filled in for Keishi yet.
I mean, they're not big shoes to fill.
What's your shoe size?
9.5.
I was going to say I got you beat, but so are mine. So I guess we're tag champs.
Sweet. I'll take it.
So, you guys have tiny feet. Jesus.
So well, I mean, they're also very wide. So you I still have the same like surface area as a normal foot person when I kick someone. It's just, you know,
it's short,
more like Sasquatch-esque.
A normal foot person.
Yeah. Normal foot. Person. You know what they say about guys with small feet?
Small shoes.
They wear small shoes.
So one thing that adds to this match is Kevin Owens is staying with WWE. He's staying with Team WWE. He's not jumping ship like the internet thought he would, and then the internet was upset. How dare he stay with them?
He's a sellout. Look, he took the money. Yeah. What a bad thing to do.
Shame on
How
him.
How dare he take care of his family and his children with guaranteed money? Well, okay, let's say like 40% guaranteed money.
And rumor has it his buddy has also either signed a contract or will be in the very near future.
Shame he could put his kids through college now.
But, you know, he doesn't have the no-cut clause in there, so he really screwed up.
So it means it's only a 90-day contract, in theory, I mean, you know.
Which he still gets paid for.
Yeah.
It's not like they go, hey, see you later, oh, for the next 90 days, not only can you not wrestle, we're not going to pay you.
Yeah, so I mean, who would sign someone and then not want to pay them their contract? Who in their right mind would want to do something like that?
Any business owner that you talk to.
Especially the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, he was hinting at he was hinting at something. Yeah, yeah.
Good old Shot Khan does not want to pay the guy who he absolutely signed a contract with.
5-year contract too.
Uh oh.
Yeah,
and fired him 8 months in.
Yeah, he fired Urban Meyer this past week.
And well, doesn't he have like legal recourse if if Khan does everything he can to not pay him?
It's a lot of legal language that they're going to work through with that because they're firing him for a cause, not because the team's doing bad. So that's
what's the cause?
That's what we're trying to figure out. But they say there's cause to it.
Because I haven't heard any bad things about him.
Look,
he kicked his kicker, apparently.
Yeah, he did. He kicked his kicker. Former kicker.
Yeah. He also called all of his assistant coaches losers, and he was the only winner, and... yeah.
There was a whole incident
and
of the bar.
And he appeared on Double or Nothing. I mean, that could be
That's just cause right there. I mean,
I don't know. That just sounds like standard coach stuff.
No, there was an incident at a bar. And anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Not going to go down.
We won't touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, this isn't
Urban Meyer hat.
This isn't football talk radio.
But no, because that would be FTR.
So, how about that NHL right now?
Oh, FTR? Fuck the Revival. Anyway, continue on. Yeah, that NHL schedule. How the Flames doing?
They're
doing nothing right now.
Hey, the Flames have all tested negative 3 days in a row. So, you know, return to play scheduled for December 27th is still on. However, I will tell you right now, and I did post it on Twitter, seeing as you brought up hockey, you can forget about NHL players going to Beijing for the Winter Olympics. I'm calling it right now. Gary Bettman, after this freakout in the NHL, is going to do everything he can to make sure that does not take place.
Right now, you can forget about the NHL crossing the border.
I mean, they're not losing.
It's going to be Canada versus the U.S., essentially. That's all it's going to be.
Well, didn't that happen last year?
They did that last season. Didn't really look too good.
But I mean, let's face facts, it's hockey, so usually it ends up being Canada versus Canada.
Even if it's an American team. That's Indeed. The one thing that American fans don't figure out. Canada sucks, America beat them. Yeah, using Canadian players.
Everyone knows that the Stanley Cup, though, is going to eventually go to a Swede. That's how it goes.
When was it, who was the last Swede that won, that had the Stanley Cup?
We're drifting way too far away from wrestling for me. Big E's going to keep the title.
That's I was just going to say, hey, Casey,
I want Big E to keep the title.
I'm sorry, Casey, too much sports ball for you?
No, I just ran out of ability to talk about the sports.
I don't know, intern, maybe you and I should talk about doing a hockey show.
There you go.
Oh, God.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Call it chicklets.
By the way, the last Swede that came into my mind was Peter Forsberg, who had the Stanley Cup, so...
There you go. And Geishi, how about spitting chicklets?
Yeah, see, there you go. This is why we're a tag team.
Now, how many people listening know what the fuck I just meant by that?
Well, anybody who would listen to your hockey podcast would.
Ooh, hey, there's a point.
So hopefully Big E retains.
Hopefully Big E retains.
I'm hoping Big E retains.
I want Big E to retain. I want Big E to win after taking on three other champions to help further solidify him as the wonderful champion that I think he is. And yeah.
As Mr. Big E.
As Mr. Big E. Maybe they'll give him his last name back.
like they're holding it hostage.
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
How about?
What do you figure, intern? You up for it?
I don't have time.
All right, we'll just call it the hockey show.
Every year you guys can talk about the World Juniors while you have Christmas break, question mark?
Anyway, damn. Brent, who's walking out with the title?
I want Big E to walk out with the title. I don't think they want or need to put it back on Lashley, which I think would be the most credible, or not credible, the most, you know, like...
Predictable?
If someone's going to take Big E down, I could see
the
that.
Most obvious.
Yes. Seth could steal it, and that would be great, but to me, there's something more about him chasing and being the smarmy guy, especially with the fact of, in that dynamic, it's so much better having Seth as the kept man than as a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, I think this main event push is his reward for sticking around. I don't think they quite want to put the title on him, even though he hasn't had a title on him for, I want to say, about 2 years now.
Yeah, but I want him to win the title as a babyface.
I mean, they had the chance.
Yeah, but, you know.
But you're talking about Seth chasing the title, and we've gone over, I have with various incarnations of the WTR crew gone over this many, many, many times. There are some wrestlers that need to chase the title as opposed to there are some wrestlers that need to hold the title. You said it, Brent, Seth Rollins chasing the title. There's just something about that. And with this animosity between him and KO, if you give the title to KO at some point in time, how much potential gold is there in Seth chasing KO?
Oh, we've already seen what happens when Seth wants to, you know, take on KO. We had an entire WrestleMania match over it when KO jumped off the Mania sign onto Seth, and Seth instantly regretted his life choices.
Yep, it's this I'm talking about.
Yeah. Honestly, if Kevin were to win, I wouldn't mind him being a Steve Austin style, where it's like he could be a tweener a little bit, where, yeah, he can be a face, but he's still going to, you know, just absolutely whoop your ass, and if he needs to take a shortcut to win, so be it.
100%. I'll take that. I'll take that, yeah, in spades. That sounds fantastic. And him just, like, being, like, kind of like the smartass that he is now with the whole, like, costing Seth the match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
See, I can see, in my head, I'm just picturing, like, Kevin is, you know, trying to roll up someone as he's the champion. And he does, like, you know, the Becky grab the ropes thing. Except, you know, when Becky is kind of, like, just scampering away, Kevin would just look at the ref afterwards and just be like, that worked. And just walk off.
Shake his hand, tell him he did a really good job.
Yeah, hey, good job. Get the hell out of here.
So we're all in agreement at some point in time we want to see Kevin Owens hold on to that WWE championship. But I haven't actually expressed my desires on day one yet. And I'm in agreement with you guys. I want to see Big E retain it simply because I am hoping that creative gets their collective heads out of their collective sphincters and actually realizes all of the different directions they could take the Fallout and actually take it there and actually, you know, write it well for a change.
Well, and also we were talking about, you know, establishing Big E as a champion for, you know, ever since he's won that belt.
Has he not had a match that has established him? Has he not had that defining match yet?
Well, I mean, him versus Drew was good, but yeah. It's like, I think him beating, like Casey said, him beating three champions, if he were to walk out of day one, I think you look at him at that point and go, wow, yeah, he's legit. He's, you know, he's not just the, you know, the big goofy guy from the New Day. He's a world champion.
So if he does wind up retaining the title and actually does it without hanging around outside the ring for most of the match, then you're saying this could be his defining defense.
Yeah, I could see them doing something with him. I don't know if they can pull it off.
Mm-hmm. But I can't disagree.
You know how they always like to, especially with someone like Big E, you want that big moment. What if he were to deliver like a big ending to Seth and Kevin
at the same time?
Either like one on each shoulder, or Ooh. Do the kind of John Cena stack
Ooh.
And do that. That's one of those things. Like they would put that on his highlight reel and show it every opportunity they could.
Hell yeah!
And again, it's that moment where you look at him and you go, "Holy shit! Yeah." Yeah, this is the guy.
Yeah, we'd love to see that.
Casey's just imagining him like double stacking them and being like, "All right, here we go."
So that's one championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another that's going to be defended at day one, and that's Roman Reigns defending against top knot Brock Lesnar, who apparently has his advocate back.
He's got overalls.
He also has overalls. That too.
I want him to come to the ring on a John Deere tractor.
That's his
with like with like a piece of wheat sticking out of his mouth.
He's just getting more farm boy looking every week.
And it works.
Oh boy.
Him and Sammy have had great chemistry.
Well, that's what happens when you live in Saskatchewan.
This Brock is what I think fans have wanted for a while. Mm-hmm. Like we've had little instances where aside from, you know, world beater Brock, where he comes out in his MMA gear and suplexes everyone. We've had these little glimpses of like Brock with the Money in the Bank contract where he's using it as a boombox, and everyone ate that shit up.
Yeah.
And it's like in this instance when there was the contract signing and, you know, he just signs the contract and Roman calls him, you know, like essentially a country bumpkin. And he's just like, "Listen, dumbass. I went over the contract with my advocate, that guy right there." And he's, you know, like it's showing that Brock isn't just, you know, this meathead monster. It's that he has personality, actually.
And he knows enough how to play mind games.
Yeah. It's great to see that he's been sitting there the whole time, just like, "Hey, Roman, tell Paul hi for me." Oh, wait.
I'll just call him and tell him. I'd like to just point out that the actual real Universal Champion for WWE is not Roman Reigns. It won't be Brock Lesnar. It has been and will be for quite some time Paul Heyman.
He who carries the belt.
Paul Heyman is the true Universal Champion, you guys.
I want Brock Lesnar to come to the ring with tearaway overalls.
Like, hey, don't just be surprised if that happens.
Just his regular music, and he comes out and he does his little hop thing, and then right when he does that, like, pump and all his pyro goes off, he just unclips those suckers and just rips them and throws them in the air.
Oh no, if they're made right, he doesn't have to unclip them.
I want just it.
Drops off his shoulders.
Yeah, male stripper overalls.
And then he'll chuck them just like he did that car door, and hopefully no one in the first three rows will get hit with it.
Yeah.
This has been an interesting build, because I mean, we've seen Brock and Roman many a time, but for some reason this feud feels different.
That's because their positions are reversed. You're cheering for Brock this time for a change.
Wait a minute. Aren't they always cheering for Brock when he fights Roman Reigns?
I mean, Casey does have a point. But At least this way, it's...
I'll interrupt. They're telling the story where he needs to be cheered. Not that the fans are just cheering. They're telling the story where you should cheer him. Unlike
thank you for coming to my assistance, Rock, and clarifying that. Yeah,
just want to make sure that's out there.
Continue. But it's like even the matches feel different just because they're both working different styles now. Like Brock usually was just the very slow, methodical, like throw you around, being a dick,
play with his food before he eats it,
right. And Roman was, you know, like, okay, I'm going to get beat down, but then I'm going to throw 14 Superman punches and 8 spears and then eventually win, even though the fans are like, oh, fuck. But with this, it's like Roman's working the slow, methodical pace, which I think works for him, that very deliberate talking smack.
Oh, yeah.
And Brock is the one person that it's like Roman can talk shit, and then all of a sudden Brock can just make him pay for it. Like, this is my ring. Chuck him over the top rope.
You've been evicted.
Right. And then you just have the best seller in the world in Paul Heyman on the outside that can, you know, just with his eyes and a simple facial expression, sell the move beyond anything. But of course, we will have that Bobby Heenan moment, I feel like, of, but what side is he on?
Yep.
Which will ultimately lead to how they get another match out of this.
Oh, absolutely. What the direction that Paul Heyman goes will definitely be the deciding factor as to A, who wins, and B, if they can get another match out of it.
Because this feels a little bit like Big Show and Brock, where I'm just waiting for the Heyman turn to happen at day one and go with Roman and be like, we got you! Ha ha!
Yeah.
Although if Brock were to end the reign, I would have no complaints over it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and if it goes that way, one way that you can do it is, you know, have Paul cost Roman the match because he punched him in the face. And then Roman could be like, can goad Brock into another match being like, what, you need an advocate to win your battles for you? So that could be how they would further it if Brock wins the title, being like, you didn't win clean. You had your little bitch help you.
Why do I feel like that? It's just a little bit too highbrow for the WWE fanboys right now.
I don't know. It's just a theory. I didn't say it was a good one.
I'm not shooting it down. Like, don't take that the wrong way. I didn't. Oh, no. I wasn't shooting it down. I was picking on WWE fans.
It's a theory. It's possible. It's a direction they could go. Whether they decide to or not is, I guess, we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Wait. I've got it. Rock knows my horrible, horrible, like, fantasy booking here. So we've been setting up the ultimate foil of Brock Lesnar for about 3 weeks now. There's going to be a new Paul Heyman guy.
Oh, no.
And his name is Sami Zayn.
Yes. He's going to come out on a John Deere tractor. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's too far-fetched even for me. I'm sorry.
No, he's going to come out on a John Deere wheelchair.
You know... Here, some of your theories make me drive me to drink.
That's fine. No, this That's is what happens food. After CB Radio when Jobber and I decide to fantasy book AEW. And the scary thing is, half the time, it actually works.
How many times did you send Hook?
We're going to talk about Hook later and what. Yeah. Hook, I've got something for Hook.
Meanwhile, there's no way home for Spider-Man.
Anyway, back to the match. Do you want to see them go to a third match in the series, or should day one be the end all of it all?
For me, it depends on how it ends. Mm-hmm. And if they can end the match in a way that they could give me that they like, I would want to see another one maybe at like a bigger show than a weird one-off pay-per-view, like have them fight at the Rumble, that'd be okay.
Or maybe the most stupendous show of the year, WrestleMania?
I mean, that's also possible.
Because you could have Brock win the Rumble.
Yep.
But hasn't there been speculation and rumor that Roman is planning on taking time off very soon?
I don't know because I don't read the wrestling internets. So, I mean, if that's the case, which could very well be possible, especially with things going on that we don't talk about, he might.
Well, there are rumors that he's going to play Jason Momoa's brother in the Jason Momoa movie.
Aquaman 15.
Really, really, Tim? Really? That was terrible. You would not expect Roman to bail out before WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, all cards on the table.
Yeah, I mean, they could also give this as, like, him losing and kind of taking off for a little bit and then coming back before for a WrestleMania build. But
yeah, too short of a time between now and WrestleMania. It's really going to, it's going to be here before you know it, even though it's only Christmas. I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, Brock gets screwed out of victory one of, you know, a myriad different ways. Again, it happens. Which was like, okay, that's it. You can't face me anymore. Then all of a sudden he enters the Royal Rumble and winds up winning. And he's like, you want to bet? And that is where he wins the title.
Okay, quick question. If Brock wins the Rumble and that's how he gets Roman, who's Big E facing at Mania then?
Kevin Owens.
I'll wait for Casey to give an answer.
I'm still thinking. The wheel is turning very slowly. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
It's all that Sudafed.
Yeah, sure.
To me, if you were going to put a Mania main event together, that's where you would give Rollins his shot.
That's very possible.
Because sure. you could have a decent build between the two, especially on the mic, leading up to Mania, especially with Seth goading him of like, you know, I'm the number one contender. I have my number, you know, I have my title shot from that match.
Yeah, that would be a good build.
Yeah.
I can get behind Seth Rollins. Big E match for Mania.
And again, it would be Seth chasing, which we all think he does better at than actually holding that belt.
So there you go. So that's the two matches that are coming up on day one. We'll post their picks for day one out on social.
We're not going to talk about Drew McIntyre versus Cat Moss that was signed for day one?
No, we're not. We're not. Because it's time for you guys to play the role of Santa Claus's helpers.
Yay.
You get to give out some gifts to some professional wrestlers.
Are you calling me fat?
No.
No, we're helpers, so we could be like tiny elves.
Okay, okay.
Santa's the fat one, dude.
So
he's also the old one, Tim.
Elves could be old, too. You don't know.
You don't know how old they are. So I gave them all a list. They each got five names. They get to give out some gifts. So we're going to start with Brent.
Oh, you're going to start with me.
We're going to give you your first name, CM Punk. What are you giving him this year?
Okay, I'm giving him a two-part gift in one. I'm going to give him one of those tonal workout mirrors. The reason for that is, number one, boy needs to work on his cardio. If you've watched any of his matches, he is gassed. I know he's been out of the ring for 7 years, but holy hell, homeboy needs to, you know, like, go do some running or something. Do not just sit on the couch and watch the Blackhawks. Even though I know you love the Blackhawks, you can't.
Right now nobody's watching the Blackhawks.
I mean, he walks his dog.
Yeah, but have you seen the dog is tiny. It probably goes about halfway up the block and then just looks at him and goes, can we go home?
Just get him a Peloton treadmill for Christmas.
Too soon.
Well, no. Here's the other side of it. The reason I want it to be a tonal workout mirror is because I want him to be able to look at himself in the mirror and realize he's become the thing he hates.
Ooh.
As MJF has said, he's become AEW's John Cena. If you listen to his promos, the way he reacts to people, the way that he's like, you know, he came out to save Sting and Darby and all of that. That is textbook John Cena leading the company. And if you remember, what's his record right now in AEW? Oh, yeah, they're pushing his ass. So Phil needs to be able to look back in that mirror and see that reflection staring back at him, wearing, you know, those Fruity Pebble-style shirts that he made fun of.
Well, but wait, if he's the John Cena of AEW, will he be able to see himself in the mirror?
Touché! Touché!
You set him up for that? Didn't even realize it.
But I thought that's a good present for him. That's good. I thought it was very fitting.
All right, we're off to a good start. Casey, Kenny Omega, what are you giving?
I'm giving Kenny Omega 100% clean bill of health.
Makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, one, he worked very injured for a long time and did a lot of really, really crazy stuff in wrestling, even just over the last 5 years. And, I mean, I still want to see him wrestle. And who knows? Maybe if he gets, like, you know, that 100% We can see some of the Kenny Omega of before AEW. Maybe the whole reason that, you know, lots of people have been saying, hey, I don't get Kenny Omega. There's all this hype, but I don't see it. Maybe part of that reason is because Kenny Omega has been working very injured for a very long time. So let's get Kenny better.
All right, Tim, you get Kevin Owens.
The WWE Championship belt.
The one off a WWE shop or the actual one?
The actual one, not a replica.
Okay, just wanted to make
a title run.
A title run, okay. All right, we throw back to Brent. Cody Rhodes.
Oh, God. You know what I would get him?
Huh?
One of those Billy Big Mouth Basses.
Why?
Because it's the thing that people will, like, try to give you, but you do not want it. You don't want it at all. You want to just get rid of it. And that's his current reaction from the AEW fans.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So they're doing what they're trying to do, this slow burn, and like yet hit you over the head with like Cody is going to turn heel, even though he says he doesn't want to, even though he's going in the media and being like, nope, I'm never going to do it because he wants to be John Cena. Everything is pointing to, yeah, he's gonna fuck Sammy up here. Either he's going to walk away from a six-man tag that Sammy's in after they have their match, or they're going to have this match, and I've talked to Rock about this. Cody's going to turn on Sammy, beat him down, and everyone's going to think that, oh my God, this is so great. Tony planned this from the first episode of Dynamite when Sammy turned on Cody at the end and joined the Inner Circle. No, it didn't happen that way. It's just the fact that people are sick of Cody. He's off doing his Hollywood thing. He comes back. Every match he has is overbooked, and the fans are sick of it and of him. So that's why he's getting a Billy Big Mouth Bass.
Okay. KG, you get Roman.
Let's get Roman Reigns' new special counsel.
Anyone in mind, or just that's what you want?
I mean, I just think it's the most fitting for him, considering the events of Friday. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, good special counsel, but...
Just a special counsel.
Maybe someone from the family to make him feel better. Okay. You know, someone who's blood who won't turn on him.
Rehire Nia Jax.
I mean, I was thinking like someone with a little bit more experience, but that's a direction.
Sami Zayn.
I said family.
He said family.
The Rock.
Rosie. Bring back Rosie. The spirit of his people. He can just like have special counsel in front of like a shrine of his ancestors.
Wait, do you just want them to hire a girl and make her Moana or something?
No, I want him to like go crazy and think that he's talking to the spirits.
Okay, Tim, you get Brock.
It's borderline regifting, but Brock Lesnar gets Paul Heyman.
Well, okay, you already got him. But,
what do you get for the man who has everything? Something he already has. Oh.
There you go.
You get him a fat Jewish guy.
Brent, you get Tony Khan.
For him, I'm going to give him a nice spa day and some skincare treatment, because holy shit, I've never met anyone with that thin of skin. Anytime someone wants to say something about AEW, he has to utterly just lose his mind. He's fighting Fox News now, for God's sake, because he has to try and get a win somewhere. Because, you know, they do AEW does better in the demo than Fox News, even though they pull in about 2.5 million more viewers.
That was the dumbest thing he could have ever done.
But it's so just like anything that happens with Tony Khan, it's just he's so thin-skinned.
Like, and defensive.
I mean, part of me just wants to give him, like, you know, a Father Sunday with Shad Khan, because maybe he'll finally give him the love and affection he never got when he was a kid. I guess that's where this is coming from.
Okay. Casey, you get Bron Breakker.
I want Bron Breakker to receive his dad's headgear for Christmas.
That's a good gift. It's a good gift.
No, for no reason other than I just want to see him walk to the ring wearing that headgear, you know, dog face gremlin bark a little bit. But
I was
also
say, does
like
he have to do the bark.
Well, I want him to be. I want Bron Breakker to be like the perfect hybrid of both his father and his uncle. So like a little bit of like dog face gremlin, like just out there-ness with a little bit of like Steiner math just to sweeten the pot.
Okay. Tim, you get Charlotte Flair.
Oh, God. A three-month vacation to Hawaii.
Okay.
I would have said humility, but...
All right, Brent. You get Hook.
Okay. I want to give Hook a time capsule because I want him to bottle up all this stuff that is happening right now so that he can remember what it's like in 3 months when he's fighting on Dark and he's actually, you know, having to sell and stuff. Yeah, you've got fans that are naming themselves Hookers. Good job, AEW. But no, he came out, had a, you know, he had a good debut. He was just throwing a bunch of judo throws against a guy who was, I believe, 2-40-something now.
According to someone's list, one of the top five debuts of all time.
It's a slow build, guys. It's a slow build.
Very slow.
Yeah. He also has no personality.
But that's what makes him cool.
No, that's what's... Like, okay, he got over because he's an internet meme.
If anime has taught me anything, Hook has the personality that everybody wants.
Okay, hang on. So Hook is 1-0. Fuego del Sol, the one guy he beat, is 7-49 career. That's not a notable win. Now, let's see what happens when he has to face someone, you know, a bit more leveled from him. Say, a Jungle Boy or, you know, maybe even a John Silver. Someone who can actually kind of put him through some paces. And we'll see if he's really ready for prime time or if he's just a fucking internet meme.
Okay. Casey, you get Adam Cole.
I want to give Adam Cole subs for his Twitch stream.
Bay.
Okay.
He's just, I don't know, on there, he's just a nice boy. We love to see him. We love to see him do his Twitch.
He's Chugs.
Yeah. I like Chugs. Love the Chugs.
Love the Chugs. All right, Tim, you get AJ Styles.
Oh, God, what are you going to get AJ Styles? Shit. I've been thinking about this all day, actually, and for most of the day I was thinking about reaching back to the 80s and getting him a Flowbee.
Googling.
Just what waiting for the Googling.
Googling. What a dated apparatus Tim has thrown out to the internet.
Flowbee.
Yeah, I'm doing this. Oh, okay, I see where you're going with it.
But then I thought, wait a minute, if he did keep the haircut, why not get him a Dodge Caravan?
So a 2-in-1.
With the Flowbee attachment.
How many people are Googling Flowbee right now?
I'm going to, let me see, let me check. How many people are in chat right now?
Enough people are, yeah.
I would say 3.
Yeah. Minimal.
Minimal.
Including me.
I would have gone the Casey route and just given him a Twitch channel again. Let the boy be happy.
By the way, Highlands,
give that man his video games back.
Or just give him WWE 2K22 and just watch the rage that happens when he plays against anyone.
There you go. Brent, and finally, you get a Jungle Boy.
I'm going to give him a yo-yo because that's what AEW booking is doing to him right now. It's like, we're going to put him on TV. No, we're not. We're going to try and give him a push. Nah, we're just kidding. It just feels so much like he is a pillar of AEW, but what is that pillar made of right now? Because it's not being seen by anyone.
All right, Casey, you get Seth Rollins.
To pull everything back to the hockey talk earlier, I want to give Seth Rollins full access to Don Cherry's wardrobe.
Yes!
With the suits that he's been wearing lately, I thought he already had it.
That's a good one. And Tim, you get Happy Corbin.
Well, it kind of sort of winds up a little bit with what Casey was getting Seth. But a personal valet, which, yes, it should be pronounced valet. And I'm not talking about somebody to accompany him to a wrestling ring. I'm talking about a gentleman's gentleman that'll actually help him with proper fashion and style.
Like a butler?
Like Mr. French from Family Affair.
Like a Kingsman.
I was just about to say that.
Like a Kingsman.
Like a Kingsman.
Anyway, Casey, go ahead and Google Family Affair.
No, I already did 2 Googles tonight. That's my limit.
Okay, intern, that's on you.
Wait, what am I looking up?
Family Affair, Mr. French.
Okay, hang on. Incognito.
Incognito mode.
Affair. Why are you making me look up the fat guy again? What are you trying to say about me?
Because Casey wouldn't do it. Yell at him.
So that was the season of giving for them. Brent's still going to read some Googling. As he does, we go to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You can follow along at WrestleTalkRadio.com. We got Tatanka taking on Randy Orton. Casey.
Tatanka.
Why?
Because when Tatanka debuted and was going on that super fun undefeated streak, I was behind Tatanka 300,000,000%. When Randy Orton turned babyface on Evolution, I mean, I was like, yeah, that's good, but I never thought he was a babyface.
Okay. Mr. Fluffy, intern?
Fluffy, you fuck. No, when it comes to Randy Orton, he never truly feels face. Like, even in the current iteration of, you know, RK-Bro, it doesn't feel like he's a face. It just feels like he's tolerating Riddle before he absolutely just beats the hell out of him. Or before Riddle, you know, in a swerve, decides to take Randy out. Tatanka, as a face, felt more as a face... You know, until he joined the Million Dollar Corporation, which again felt like out of nowhere, but which is funny in a matchup with Randy Orton, of course. But no, I'll have to go with Tatanka.
Tim.
Yeah, it's unanimous. Randy Orton does not work as a babyface.
Unless it's like, you know, dealing with the crowd during a live show, trying to save a child from getting crushed. Then he's a great babyface.
Well, that's
unless
totally
he's, you know,
different, dude.
Exactly.
Unless he's trying to kill one of the Bollywood boys.
Yeah, wow. That's not in character. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why we all picked Tatanka.
There you go. All right, we got the 1-2-3 kid taking on Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Brent. Whoa!
Yeah, I'm going with that. 1-2-3 kid was a good babyface moment of, you know, him beating Razor and Razor eventually kind of taking him under his wing. But 1-2-3 kid, I always more associate with X-Pac. And with that, no babyface has a fan reaction named after him that is just that abysmal.
Casey?
Yeah, I'm going Hacksaw. I was always behind Hacksaw. I mean, you know, Brent was pretty on the nose. The 1-2-3 kid was I mean, good for the Razor win, but I was never behind 1-2-3 kid outside of, yeah, nowhere near as much as I was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean, I'm still behind Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Even though he went to Team Canada at one point?
Well, I mean, I'm from Canada.
That's true. That's a real point.
I mean, and while I did not necessarily condone his actions, I also was all like, but he joined Team Canada.
I mean, he's been known to link himself with, you know, foreign adversaries. You know, Team Canada, the Iron Sheik in a sedan. He's just extending that olive branch out to the world, okay? But at least we think it's an olive branch. We'll have to ask the cops what it truly was.
It was an olive two by four.
Tim?
Hey-o.
All right, that's good enough for me. Rikishi takes on Finn Balor. Tim?
I don't see any updates happening on Challenge.
I see it.
They're not updating on mine.
I see it. Have the hamster run faster.
Oh, shit. At some point, it's going to be Finn Balor. But you can't get away from Rikishi dancing at the end of the matches with Too Cool. And just for the dancing alone, totally out of character, I'm going Rikishi.
Okay. Casey.
He might have did it for The Rock, but he danced for us first. Going with Rikishi.
Bryant.
I'm going to throw a pity vote to Finn Balor. The reaction that man gets when he walks out, the lights hit, and everyone participates. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Rikishi gets the reaction himself. He's got the dance. Everyone lost their mind when it was that and the stink face, especially when Vince McMahon went about halfway up Rikishi's ass to kiss it. But in this case, I will throw the one vote to Finn Balor.
Okay. We got Rob Van Dam and John Cena, Kishi.
Was Rob Van Dam ever a true babyface, or was he always just Rob Van Dam?
That's for you to decide.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick John Cena. Rob Van Dam is a good guy. He's great, but I wouldn't call him a babyface.
Okay, here's the tough thing for me. I was never a true ECW fan. I've gone back to watch it, and the fans love themselves some Rob Van Dam, but I absolutely see Casey's point of, was he a real babyface, or was it just the fans liked themselves some Rob Van Dam, even though he was a stoned asshole?
He was one of a kind, though.
He was one of a kind.
Hey, just because he was stoned doesn't make him an asshole.
No, being an asshole made him an asshole.
Yep. He just wanted to clarify.
With Cena, he had probably, you know, some of the biggest reactions. There was a reason why he carried the company for as long as he did.
He outsold Steve Watch and Austin's merchandise for a while.
But he's also, you know, within the past 10 years, one of the more, like, people were so over him. Not just he was over, they were over him. There was a reason why when Phil decided to leave, and yeah, I know it was Chicago, but I have a feeling even outside of Chicago, he still would have gotten a pretty damn good reaction. That being said, in the matchup of baby faces, I will have to go with Mr. Fruity Pebble himself.
Tim?
The commitment phobe, John Cena.
Tim?
Yeah, it's John Cena, as much as I don't want to do anything in favor of John Cena. I made the point. He was such a big freaking deal. He outsold Stone Cold for a while. His merchandise did, anyway. An exceedingly polarizing figure. Once he became babyface, that was it. And, you know, hustle, loyalty, respect. He did everything he could to live that belief.
All right, we got Jeff Hardy and Sting, right?
We've seen how this match plays out. Sting won. Jeff has a good following. He really does. Those fangirls love themselves some Jeff Nero Hardy. But if
that's because he's innately a bad boy, and they think they can rehab him.
Tim, that is not the best phrase to use with Jeff Hardy. but when it comes to
hey, trust me, it was calculated.
Oh, I can tell. But I want to say for face reaction, I've got to go with Sting, only because it's like, when Jeff shows up, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. You could get Jeff Hardy. You could get Brother Nero. You could get Willow. God help you if that happens. But with Sting, whenever he shows up, he got a pop. Even when he was gone for a year and a half and was only in the rafters, people still lost their minds at just the hint that there could be Sting. Now, is that reaction a little overblown now with Tony screaming, "It's Sting!" when he comes out for like an interview segment? Yes. But in terms of overall babyface reaction and sentiment, it's got to be the man, the icon.
Casey?
I mean, yeah, Tony Schiavone says it best. It's Sting. Many, 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 many eyes. I don't think there's too much that Brent didn't touch on that I could not add. Surfer Sting was huge in the early days of WCW that I didn't see, according to what I have seen post-tense. When he was doing his rafter stuff, that was crazy. Like, I had no idea who he was, and he was in the rafters, and I thought it was amazing. So, Sting.
Tim.
No, Sting is the absolute epitome of what a franchise really is. You said it, Brett. People would lose their freaking minds just to get a glimpse of him up in the rafters. Babyface is Sting.
I feel like if Jeff was against a good majority of these people, he would have moved on. This was a tough one for him.
Yeah, well, he probably would have moved on. But, you made a wise-ass crack about this matchup, Brent, so I didn't bother. But, yeah, kind of ironic.
And finally, Lita takes on AJ Styles, Tim.
Oh, God. This is a tough one, too. Not because it's intergender, but both of these, you know, Lita almost falls into the Rob Van Dam category. Lita's just Lita. Is she a baby face? Is she a heel? No, she's Lita. AJ, I've always appreciated him more as a heel than as a baby face. There are just some wrestlers work better one way as opposed to the other. Now when AJ is a baby, has been a baby face, he's done a really good job. However, it just has always felt more real, more organic for him to be the baddie. In this instance, I'm voting for Lita.
Casey.
This is tough.
I said that.
I know. I'm reiterating the fact of how tough it is. I'm agreeing with you. Why are you arguing with the fact that I'm agreeing with you?
I'm not. I'm just pointing out I said that, but now you said it too.
Yes, Tim made some very good points. I mean, if we look at Lita, Lita's heel work, I think it stands out more to me than her babyface stuff. Only because when she was doing a lot of her babyface stuff, maybe before she was wrestling, when she started wrestling more, I didn't really get behind her as much of a babyface as when she was like more of a managerial role and getting beat up mm-hmm. all the time. It's very interesting that Tim says AJ Styles is better as a heel, considering he is very much a high flyer, which is usually not something that you should do as a heel, but he makes it work. Can't deny the pop AJ Styles got when he debuted at the Royal Rumble. I'm going to pick AJ Styles because I want to make Brent choose.
Ooh, what a bugger.
Casey's finally learning. He's learning how to do this. Good job, Casey, for finally learning how to throw and deflect and move everything around.
It's not that I didn't know how to do it. It's just I like to save it for really fun times.
There you go, Brent.
I'm going to go. So if we're going, well, no, I'm not going to make the horrible joke, Rock. I'm not going to do it. Tim knows where I can go with that. I'm going to go with Sue, you know, the soccer mom with the van and the haircut.
Okay.
Only because when you look at AJ's work, like in TNA being the guy,
yeah,
he was adored by the fans. Even when he had his moments where he did kind of the Sting, you know, where he was like, but what side is he on? And all of that. When he came out in that 5-on-5 match against the Aces and Eights, holy shit, the roof blew off. And when he fought against Dixie, everyone was behind AJ. Now he comes to WWE, and like they said, you get that moment where he comes out during the Royal Rumble. Well, when you finally saw who it was, not Roman's reaction of squinting, who the fuck is this? And then you finally heard the fans. But when AJ is a face, he is absolutely over. With Lita, yeah, when she was with Team Extreme, people supported her. When she was paired with Kane, begrudgingly, people supported her. And then she joined Edge, and everyone hated her. And I think that's more of a lasting legacy with her. Now, she has her, you know, relationship with Trish. She's the BFF with her. People give her that, you know, the legend reaction. But I honestly think that incident with Matt and Edge kind of changed people's perceptions of Lita and made her more of a kind of, she had face moments, but did you really want to cheer her?
Oh, God. Rock, you had to, didn't you?
I didn't say nothing.
No, it's not a case of what you said. It's what you did. Just because he's not around to make the joke doesn't mean you have to.
I didn't say nothing.
It's, again, not what you said. It's what you typed.
Exactly. Anyway.
All of a sudden, there's a Beach Boys song swimming in my head.
But I'll do it for the all-time greatest, and that will do it for WTR Sunday Night in 2021.
That's right, everybody. Thank you very much for spending 2021 with us and tonight as well. Hope your week goes great, and I hope that Sandy Claus treats you nice and doesn't put coal in your stocking unless, of course, you're somebody that I don't like and you deserve it. That's a different story altogether. If you deserve the coal, actually, in Western Canada, Casey, coal in your stocking nowadays wouldn't be a punishment present, would it?
I mean, some people would enjoy having it as just a, you know, an emergency stockpile.
Yeah, there you go. And,
winter is here.
it's going to be minus 20 on Christmas Eve in Calgary and minus 24 Celsius, we're talking. Celsius, temperature-wise, on Christmas Day, minus 24 Celsius. So it's going to be pretty freaking cold next weekend. Anyway, that said, yeah, you guys, everybody, have a safe and happy holiday. Tomorrow, Rock, you should do the Raw post show, the final one for 2021.
It's not the final one of 2021 because we won't make that. Raw post
show. Yeah, I can do another one.
Yeah, we're gonna do another one. Monday night's Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Are you guys doing a live edition of the Rack on Christmas Eve Eve?
We will be doing Jingle All the Rack live this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Going to keep it light and simple and all that stuff. We're doing a tier list on the Christmas movies.
Awesome. Of course, no CB radio on Saturday night, right?
Hold on. That's 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Yeah, no CB radio. We're not going to be on during Christmas. We're back, tentatively back on New Year's Day, but that could change.
You never know. We'll see.
I mean, there's a pay-per-view, and then I'm doing a recap, and, you know, see how things go.
Shit might happen. You never know. So, anyway, that said, there's always the socials. Follow all of us, including the website and the webcasts on all the social medias.
That Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Never gets Twitter. Facebook at WTR Sunday Night.
It really is. It's true. I'm on Twitter, and I'll probably be taking a shot at something or someone here and there for the entire week. Just follow me at Flames Forums to find out.
Brent's on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. I make friends with my takes on AEW, like you kind of heard earlier tonight. So, yay. Oh, and Tim, just to let you know, it's going to be a balmy 65 degrees here for Christmas Day, where I'm at, with a low of 43.
65 Fahrenheit.
Yep.
Would be about... Oh. What is that? 16 Celsius? 17 Celsius?
I'm guessing so. I'm going to be reclining in shorts and sandals, so...
Oh, that doesn't matter. Come to Calgary during this time of the year. Minus 24 on Saturday. Some ass is going to be out shoveling the sidewalk wearing a parka and shorts.
Just for record, when Tim started mentioning the cold weather, the heat just kicked on, so... Casey's on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. There probably won't be much traffic for me over the next couple days. There isn't much going on.
Sell merchandise, Cash.
Yeah, I'm just about to. I don't think you'll make it for Christmas this year. But if you want to try, you can buy some merch over at Redbubble. Links to my Redbubble page are on the descriptions of my Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome.
That's our show.
That's it. We're done. Like I said, everybody, have yourself a great week. Very, very Merry Christmas and a happy holidays to each and every one of you. And, of course, right here, Rust Talk Radio. We'll see you first Sunday of 2022.
WildTalkRadio.com.